Hello and welcome back to America Weekend with me, Valerie Smaldone, and friends. If you listen to the program, you know I like to talk about food and wine very often. When you are drinking a nice bottle of wine and you don't want to finish drinking it, just you're done with it, what to do? Well, there are some terrific leftover wine recipes that I thought I'd share with you from Real Simple Magazine. And I do this, by the way, myself. I've been doing this for years, so I'm glad to know it's not a bad idea. Linguine with red wine bolognese sauce. Oh, that's delicious. And I do make that myself. It spices up the beef and the tomatoes, and it's simmered in red wine before topping your pasta. It's a great solution with what to do with that red wine. They also suggest lentil stew with oranges. This sounds so delicious. The flavors of the dish are brightened with the citrus of the oranges. And then you can use a nice dry red wine. Fabulous. So those are two really great recipes for leftover wine. But I want to defer to my fabulous home chef, Kathy Gruen from Butterflower Sugar Salt. She is taking red wine to a new height by adding it to a delicious recipe we all love and enjoy. Listen to this, Kathy Gruen. Kathy?
Thanks, Valerie. It's happening. The temperature the other morning when I woke up was 33 degrees. And that evening, that same evening, it had gone up, but then it dropped back down to the 40s. And it's definitely cold. And when it starts to get really cold, I sort of go into this mode where I want things that are comforting and remind me of my childhood, but maybe more of an adult twist now. And the other night, while I was having a glass of red wine and going through a bunch of papers, I had this overwhelming urge to make brownies. Now, I love brownies, and I always have loved brownies. There's something about the deep chocolate and the simplicity of it that reminds me of my childhood. It was such an ideal childhood treat, especially in school when it was somebody's birthday and a parent would bring in a tray of brownies, or at a bake sale, there'd always be lots of trays of brownies. I've just always loved them. I love them with nuts. I love them without nuts. I love them with some sort of frosting or topping. I love them plain. I love them with maybe a swirl of cream cheese or mixed in with some caramel. I just love brownies. And as I said, I had this overwhelming urge. I had to have brownies. And I pulled out all the ingredients. And while I was making the batter, I kept sipping on my wine. And then all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, could I actually put red wine into my brownie mixture? And the light bulb went off. Why not? Because I was once taught, if you bite into chocolate, then take a sip of red wine, the flavor of the chocolate is intensified, and you really then also get the layering notes of the wine with the chocolate. And I thought, I've got to do this. So I reached for the bottle of wine. I was drinking a really lovely Syrah, and I decided into the brownie batter, I would add, I started with a quarter cup. I didn't want to go all out and add a lot more because I didn't want the brownie batter to become too thin. I still wanted a really rich, fudgy consistency. And I added the quarter cup and I blended it all. And the brownie batter started to have this transformation. Instead of the deep, rich chocolate brown, almost espresso brown that you see in a brownie batter, it took on almost a garnet color. There was like a brownish red color that emanated into the batter. And the smell of the chocolate and the smell of the wine, it really was a match made in heaven. And I proceeded to bake these brownies, knowing full well that the alcohol would definitely bake off, but I wasn't sure what the taste would be when they came out of the oven. Well, the taste was fantastic. The color, as I said, was a really deep claret color. It was a red with undertones of red in it, a brown with undertones of red in it. But then when they cooled and I cut them into their perfect little squares, I bit into the first one, and the taste was incredible. You got the fudgy chocolate brownie flavor, but then as you chewed the brownie and swallowed, you got the peppery, fruity notes from the wine that lingered. And it really was a sophisticated taste. And I could see adding a different wine for different flavors, and I don't know a lot about wines. I'm not going to pretend that I do. So I think the layering flavors of a Pinot Noir might be different, as would a Cabernet. But all I have to say is definitely try this. Make your brownies a little adult and put a little wine into the batter and make up a tray and open up and finish off that bottle of wine. It's a wonderful treat. I could see it as a really wonderful hostess gift. I could see it as, something fun to bring to a potluck dinner. But brownies and red wine are a great combination. And, we cook with wine all the time in our savory thing, so why not add it to something sweet? Give it a try and let me know what you think.
Kathy Gruen from Butterflower Sugar Salt. I'm Valerie Smaldone on America Weekend.
Think green. Harrison with you. We all live with our computers, and we're closer to these machines than we think. Consider our eyes with 100 million light receptors. Our ears have some 24,000 sound fibers. And the body? Your body has 500 muscles, 200 bones, and 7 miles of nerve fibers. And while your body holds only 5 quarts of blood, your heart pumps 600,000 gallons through 60,000 miles of veins and arteries, all containing 2 trillion blood cells. In your head is a 3-pound brain, and that brain has the consistency of table butter, with over 13 billion cells monitoring 4 million pain sensors, 200,000 temperature, and 500,000 touch detectors spread all throughout the body. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
It was October 12, 1996, game one of the ALCS. Derek Jeter stepped up to the plate, and suddenly, this 12-year-old took his place in baseball history.
It's a high fly ball to right deep, going back is Tarasco. To the wall, he's under it now, and it's taken away from him by a fan, and they're going to call it a home run. I can't believe it.
So where is Jeffrey Mayer now? Jeffrey's still all about baseball. He was a first-team all-conference player at Wesleyan University, where in 2006 he became the school's all-time leader in hits. And he was a baseball skills instructor for the actors in the ESPN miniseries The Bronx is Burning.
Wow, it's pretty unbelievable, and I didn't think it would ever happen to me.
Jeffrey Mayer. Just don't mention his name in Baltimore. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.